turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. And good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm feeling much better this week than I did last week. Let's just put it that way. Luke chapter 12, I just want to read three verses, beginning in verse 51. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And I'm just going to stop right there. Part of where this comes from, I was telling Debbie yesterday, is there's a lot of people out there who say a lot of things about Christ, and most of them are wrong.
Yeah.
A large, huge percentage of them are wrong. And I kind of got to thinking about it. Might as well just look at it in one way. What did he say about himself?
Yeah.
We've got his words recorded here. It reminded me, there was a fella, and I can't remember what his name is, Walter, that guy, his name's Walter, that used to do the thing about the Mormons, and, Walton Martin, that's it. He was talking about assisting a fella who was preaching either on a street corner or on a soapbox somewhere where they did this sort of thing, and there were people who'd come by and listen, and one fella in particular who was kind of a nice heckler. And the guy would start out his saying, after the fellow finished preaching, whatever he was preaching, he would say, well, you know, I understand Jesus was a great teacher, but, and then that's when he'd start, you know, picking apart whatever this fellow had been saying. And he may have been right in what the fellow he was picking him apart at. I don't know, because I don't know what was preached. But Walter Martin asked him one question one time. It kind of shut him up. The question was, well, and people say this, that Jesus was a great teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Good. If he was a great teacher, why don't you do what he taught?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't want to.
No.
And that kind of shuts them up. But anyway, just comes in handy if you need to know sometimes. But anyhow, most of the world today suppose a lot of things about Jesus Christ. And most of what they suppose of him is wrong.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I wrote this feeling pretty witty. It leaks out on me every now and then. Man is full of supposition and way short on truth.
Yeah, that's right.
See, I thought that was pretty good too.
Yeah.
The amazing thing, though, is how many of these suppositions are not only wrong, they are exactly wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
They are so wrong as to be the exact opposite of the truth of God as it is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Exactly opposite. So I thought about, because when I looked it up, the Greek word where it says, where Christ said, suppose ye, as think ye. Think ye. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 wrote this. Isaiah wrote this, or Deutero Isaiah wrote it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. man's thoughts are not God's thoughts.
Right.
Man's ways are not God's ways, says the Lord. Yeah. Not me.
Right.
Says the Lord. And says Christ.
Yeah.
Right here. Says the Lord. Okay, I get it. Man's ways are different than God's ways. Man's thoughts are different than God's thoughts. That's good. That's part of it. But Isaiah didn't stop with different, because God's thoughts are different than man's thoughts. God's ways are different than man's ways, but God's thoughts and God's ways are different in a very specific way. They're better.
Right. Right.
They're higher.
Yeah.
They're better. Man hates that.
Yes, he does.
I mean, man hates that with a passion. No one likes to be told that their ideas and their thoughts and their beliefs are wrong. Okay? Nobody likes that. But I'm going to tell you something. They really hate it when you tell them their ideas and their thoughts and their beliefs are inferior. It's hard to be positive when God's negative toward man. Whenever you talk about man, it pretty much ends up in the negative. And man hates that too. But it's true. Our thoughts and our ways are pretty much pitiful. Jesus Christ said it correctly, which is no great surprise. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you no. That's the other thing people hate to be told. It's no. Nay. Nay means no. And when Christ says nay, the nays have it. Suppose ye. Christ spoke here of what man supposes about the Son of God. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. Who do they think I am? A supposition is a thought, a guess, a speculation. And Christ Jesus did not suppose.
Right. Never.
Jesus Christ knew.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ knows. And he needed not anybody tell him what was in a man's heart. Even though he asked them sometimes. Because he was a great teacher. And he was trying to teach his disciples some things. And he did teach them some things. When he caused them to remember it. Jesus Christ did not suppose. Jesus Christ did not guess. He didn't speculate. Because he knew. Man's guesses and speculation are just about always wrong. I hate to bring this up, but the majority is not always right.
Yeah, that's right.
It's never right concerning spiritual things. And I got scripture to back that up. Matter of fact, the majority is usually wrong when it comes to the things of the Spirit of God. The New Testament refers to it as the broad way and the narrow way. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. See all these sayings about ways, broad way. The broad way is what man supposes to be correct.
Yeah, that's
what it is.
Yeah.
They're not going the wrong way leading to destruction because they think they're leading to destruction. They're not. Even if we know they are. they'll read that scripture and think they're part of the few.
Yep, they will.
Because, see, the straight gate can't be going through the picture show. Can't be watching television. Can't be drinking beer. No, there's one who is the gate. He's the door.
Yeah.
Of the sheep. He's not the door of the goats. He's not the door of the world. He's the door of the sheep. And no matter what the world says, God says the narrow way is correct. Christ says the narrow way is correct. The Old Testament refers to this in Proverbs 14:12. He says, there is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that narrow way with a straight gate, and few there be that find it. Man's suppositions about God are always wrong.
Yeah, right.
That's it. There's a whole category of literature in a bookstore that will prove that to you. If you just take the time to flip through it. My wife talked me into buying a magazine yesterday. On National Geographic. I haven't read it yet. I'm going to. At least that article. About the King James Bible. The creating of a masterpiece. And I want to see how they talk trash about it. Even as they say how good it is. Because I know the will. But I'll read it. And I'll find out. And who knows? Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised.
I do too.
I doubt it. I doubt it very seriously. Matter of fact, I'd be willing to bet money against it. But, you know, because man's suppositions about God, about this word, about this book, are always wrong. Now, this supposition that Christ is dealing with here is about the supposition that man has about Christ coming to give peace on earth. And that's wrong. He said it. Nay. So the answer is no. Wait a minute. I thought Christ promised peace. He does. To his people. To his people. He promises peace. He never promised peace to the world. John 14:27 put it this way. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. This peace was given to his chosen people. I did not come to bring peace to the world. And this peace is not as the world gives, and it's not given to the world. And it's never been promised to the world. He came to give peace to his brethren, his family. His chosen people, not the world. And he wasn't trying to give peace on earth. So that's what some of them will say. There would be peace in the world, peace on earth, but we won't let God have his way. Yeah, try and stop him and see what happens to you. I believe he drowned the world once. A lot of people don't believe that, though. And if you don't think you can still bring a lightning bolt down, I've seen it. Now, it wasn't my house. It was my neighbor's house. It hit his TV antenna because he was watching TV, so that's bad. I'm kidding. I heard it, though. because it was, you know, just about, you know, 100 feet away from my house. God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, where he wants to do it. And no man can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? A lot of people want to. But that's because they suppose that God's listening to them. He's not. He listens to his people because he gave his people his spirit. Anyway, he came to give peace to his brethren, his family, his chosen people, not the world. And he's not trying to give peace on earth. Jesus Christ is the Son of Peace. He's the King of Salem, which being interpreted, King of Peace. Romans 5:1 put it this way, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord of Peace? But it's we who have it. Paul writing to believers. Paul writing to the family of God. Not writing to the world. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 puts it this way. Paul writing, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. That's the only way to have peace on this earth. Not peace on earth, but peace on this earth while you're on this earth is in him.
Yeah.
The peace Christ gives to his people. There is a rest. That was on another one of the. There remaineth a rest to the people of God. There remaineth peace to the people of God. Nobody else. Not his peace. And this peace is to some who are in the world, but they're not of it. So if Christ didn't come to give peace on earth, what did he come to give? He's talking about what he says about himself. Christ came to bring division on earth.
That's what he said.
That's what he said. Merry Christmas. Christ came to bring division on earth. Another place it says, I came to bring a sword. Well, I looked here. The word translated as division is defined in the Greek as disunion. That describes our society perfectly. You all know the truth about it. Disunion. Now, in order to have disunion, you had to have union at one time. But somehow, somewhere along the lines, there came a difference. Something changed. Somebody was given something, somebody wasn't. Something changed. Where there was unity, Christ came to bring division. Isn't that sort of the antithesis of what people are preaching nowadays?
Sure it is.
We want to bring unity. No, Christ said, I'm bringing division.
Right. That's what he said.
You preach that, you'll split the church. Praise God. If the truth of God splits the church, it was meant to be split. Amen. There's lots of things people can't say. But there's nothing in this book you can't say. Because he gave us this revelation to learn of him. To know him. And if this book, the words from this book about the character and the work of Christ cause a division, that's just the breaks. That's the way it goes. And that's the way it's always been.
Exactly.
And that's the way it'll always be till he comes again. Christ makes a division among a formerly unified group. And that's a good thing. Because otherwise, all of us would be on the broad way going to destruction. All of us would be on the broad way if he hadn't pushed us through the straight gate. Christ did it. Even a division, Christ does it, it's good. By definition, if God does it, it's right. And nothing can be put to it, nothing can be taken from it. It's God that does it. And the only thing you can say is, so be it. Amen. It doesn't necessarily make it fun. It doesn't necessarily make it enjoyable. It can be grievous because a person's emotions, you get attached to people. But division by Christ is expected, it's ordained, and it's going to happen.
Amen.
When it wants it to happen.
Yeah.
As to what is being divided, we don't have to worry about interpretation. He told us. We don't have to worry about the connotation of this thing. It's one house. That's the example he gives. In one house. Now, who lives in one house? Usually it's family. Well, he tells us. I do like it sometimes when it's really plain because, you know, you don't have to worry about interpreting. Not something like this. You don't have to. I think that when from henceforth there shall be five in one house. There was five in one house. You're going to be divided three against two and two against three. I believe that's what that means. He could split it close enough right down the middle. One house shall be divided. Now I looked at that word. That word means partitioned thoroughly. Somebody on this side of the partition, and somebody on this side of the partition. And never the twain shall meet, as the saying goes, unless God puts the other one on the other side of the partition, which he can still do. A man's foes will be those of his own household.
Yeah.
And just about everybody here knows a little something about that. And I didn't even get a t-shirt for it. But I've been there, done that. A man's foes will be those of his own household. Because Christ came to bring division to families. And the word foes is translated from the Greek. When it's passive, it's translated as odious. When it's active, hostile. Boy, I know that. Hostile. This word means adversary.
Yeah.
Guess who else is called our adversary? Satan.
Yeah.
Satan, enemy.
Yeah.
Your adversary can be your son, your daughter, your brother, your
right.
sister,
right.
your father, your mother, and maybe even your spouse.
Yeah. That's right.
It's not fun. It's not a good time, but it is a good thing.
Amen.
Because even this is part of that all things work together for good
yeah.
to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. It's not fun. I mean, you know, I've been in arguments or situations where you get the adrenaline rush. And afterwards you get a little bit of the shakes. Because your world is coming apart as you know it. And it is.
It is. Yeah.
because it turns out your family and God's family may not be the same thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And as man, as he is born, I'll tell you this, your family and God's family aren't the same thing.
Right.
As far as you know it.
Right.
It should be the same thing. But if you're one of his children, God's family is the only true family that you have.
That's right. That's it right there.
Now that doesn't mean we always agree on everything. That doesn't mean we all have pianos, Mason. But we can. That doesn't mean we all do not have Sunday schools. Although I think we shouldn't. Most of the time. God's family is not always all together and in one accord. Should be, but it's not. But it's still God's family. Because in God's family, there's one thing we can always agree on. Who's the head of the family? Because if you don't know who the head of the family is, you're not in the family.
You're not in the family. That's exactly.
That's it.
That's the way it is. Yeah.
If you don't know the head of the family, you're not in the family.
Right.
And if you got a problem with the head of the family, yeah. I don't want to get near you. But his people know him.
Yeah.
This is eternal life. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. His family know him. We may not know all each other. And we may have some doubts about each other and people in other places because of some things that are different. But if we know him, we are in the family together. And this is the only family we have. And we know him, and he's in charge because he rules over all. I talked about it a few weeks ago about Jesus Christ ascending. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. He's going to have his enemies put underneath his feet because he's going to step on them and crush them. That's going to happen. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's happening. Because we need it all the time.
Yeah.
He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, even though he hasn't come with that written on his thigh yet. But he still is. Christ does as he pleases, which is exactly the same as what the Father pleases, which is he brings division on the earth. But he brings unity in the family. It's one body. He makes intercession for his family. He came, he lived, he gave up his life, he was raised from the dead, he's ascended, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming back again. And there's one thing I left out when I was talking about that, and I thought about it on the way home. He's up there. He's not down here right now, except for when two or three are gathered together in his name. There I am in the midst of them. In the family. There may be division between your earthly family. But where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's with them. And I think this place counts. Because we're gathering today in his name. That's part of what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. We're here to learn of him, to hear of him. Because Christ makes us his family.
Yeah, he makes us.
And I thank God for that. And it seems weird to me, but I like God's family. But I don't like a lot of people.
Me neither.
Glad to hear you testify, brother. I know you. I know. But I like coming here.
Yeah.
Like I've never liked coming anywhere else. And it didn't matter when we were in Mabscott or we were in the fire department or we were here. Because it's not the place, it's the family.
Right, it's the family.
The family of God is a very peculiar thing. Mm-hmm. And that in a good way. And it just seems awfully peculiar to me that I enjoy it this much. But I'm glad I do. And that's because of His grace, His love, and His mercy. He has ordained that we gather ourselves together for this purpose, for this unity in Him while we are in this world. Not of it, but in it. And I thank Him for that. Our Heavenly Father, pray again. Thank You for all that You've given us through Christ, Your Son, our Lord, our Master, our Ruler, our King. Thank You, Lord, for Your salvation, Your grace, Your life, Your mercy, and all that You give us as we go about in this world. But thank You for the fellowship of the family that we have in Your Son, our Lord. Amen. Thank you.